thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that we can rejoice in your presence. We can sing praises to you, our God. For a moment, oh God, we can forget about ourselves and we can lift holy hands. We can forget about our situation and we can wait to hear from you. Dear Lord, speak through your daughter. We want to hear from you. And as we hear from you, dear Lord, we connect the very place that we need you the most. We connect it to the throne of your grace this morning, to the throne of your mercy. As your word comes through, let it come through with healing. Let it come through with guidance. Let it come through with assurance. Let it come through with provision. Let it come through rebuilding our strength, giving us the ability to take one step after the other in the direction that you are calling us to. Oh, dear God, we can only get that from you. So your daughter, your vessel, we commit her to you. We dedicate her. We pray that you would use her, touch her mouth with fire. And speak your words through her so that we would receive. So, dear God, when we leave here, we would not leave the same way we came. So with anticipation, we wait to hear from you, God, with thanksgiving in our hearts. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. And I didn't have any word until on last Saturday we had an event. And at the end of it, Sifa brought Zion to me. And as I carried that baby, I did not only feel her weight, I also felt her spirit. And the Lord said to me, "This is a general in my army." And I said, "Wow, God." And he said, "I want you to speak on being a soldier in the Lord's army." Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I am a soldier in the Lord's army." Say it with confidence, "I am a soldier in the Lord's army."
I am a soldier in the Lord's army.
Say, "I am a soldier in the Lord's army."
I am a soldier in the Lord's army.
And the Lord asked me a question. Is it about rank or legacy? Many of us want to be generals. Many of us want to be colonel, lieutenant colonel. We all want to be somebody with a title. What is our legacy as soldiers in the Lord's army? Look in the world today. We have so many brigadier generals. We have so many colonels. What is their legacy? Are we after the rank, which is the title, or are we after the legacy? If we're going to 2 Timothy 2:4, the word of God says, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in civilian matters. He avoids them that he may please the one who enlisted him, and that is his commanding officer." As soldiers in the army, we should have no business with the world, because the Lord has called us out of the world into himself. We are in the world, but not of the world. I gave my life to Jesus in 1975, and I was in high school. And I remember during that time, one of the songs we used to sing was, I can't sing. "I will never ride in the cavalry, shoot in the artillery, march in the infantry. I will never zoom at the enemy, for I'm in the Lord's army." And that song didn't mean much to me then. I think it went over my head, because I never really stopped to understand what it meant to be a soldier. I never really stopped to think about what it meant to be separate from the world. And so even as I speak to us today and speak to myself, I pray that the word of the Lord will not return to him void. It will accomplish that which he purposes. And it will prosper in the thing for which he sent it. After I gave my life to Jesus, it was a good time. I gave my life to Jesus after my parents' miraculous conversion. And I looked at them, I saw how their life was changed and how they stopped drinking, they stopped partying. Instead of partying with the world, they started partying with the word. The people that they used to party with, they called together and started drinking the word and eating the word. We saw lives changed for the kingdom. We saw signs and wonders happening in our house. We saw people who couldn't go to church together because one was Methodist, one was Catholic, finding salvation through none other than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and denomination became a thing of the past, and in our home, Jesus became the center. And I was there watching them and watching them live out their salvation. But there were things in the life of this soldier that the Lord had to correct. My mindset. You know, Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you which was in Christ." At that time, I think I had a worldly mindset, I didn't even know what mindset I had. This soldier's mind had not been transformed, renewed, even though I had given my life to Jesus. I remember when my husband came, he was here in the U.S., I was in Sierra Leone, and it was my birthday and he took me out for lunch. And the friend that I had with me was not saved, but I liked her because she made me laugh. Hello? And so when he asked what would we drink, I love Coke, which I know is not good, but that's my... I need salvation. Pastor, I'll come to you for deliverance. Amen. But the things that we were saying and laughing about made him think twice about whether he wanted this Marion for his wife. He said Marion had changed. He went again and he came back and he found another friend, my roommate in university, and we were good friends. And the things she was talking about that I found funny were not godly. And he said, no, this one for real. God had to change my tongue. God's word says in Colossians 4:6 that he will season my tongue with grace and divine salt so I will know how I ought to answer. I will know what I ought to say. God had to cut me down to humble me before him that he may lift me up. God blessed me very early in life. Since I left university, my first job was a director job, and all my jobs have been leadership roles. And I've sat on boards, I've been on radio, I've been on TV. So it was all Marion. So this soldier was about me, myself, and I. And the Lord had to teach me how to decrease for him to increase. For 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that when Marion is in Christ, she's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I was a giver. Of course, I had good jobs, so it was easy to give. And I was always giving. But giving from that place of pride, I have, you don't have here. And the Lord taught me how to give. Give from a place of love. Give from a place of caring. Give from that compassion. Because the one I follow, my commanding officer, he gave all for me. God had to start working on my life to bring me to the place where I can stand today. And by God's grace, say I have left many legacies, living legacies in the world for his glory. Where are you in your journey with the Lord today? What kind of soldier are you for the Lord? Is it about rank or is it about legacy? Let's look a bit about soldiers. Who is a soldier? A soldier, first of all, has to be a citizen of the country that he represents. In Philippians 3:20, the Bible says, as Christians, we are citizens of heaven. So who are we representing as soldiers? Who is our commanding officer? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. In the world, many of us have dual citizenship. I'm an American Sierra Leonean, or Sierra Leonean American. In kingdom business, as soldiers of the kingdom, we cannot be in the world and be in the world. We have to choose you this day whom we will serve. We have to have done with lesser things. That is why a soldier has to move out of civilian area and go stay in a barracks. Because there he is disciplined. There he is taught the things of being a soldier. There he is in boot camp. There his mindset changes. There his ways become aligned to the ways of the military. Some of us say we are soldiers. And yet still, we still do civilian things. May God have mercy. Today is a day where the Lord is going to strip us. Amen. Strip us of those things in our lives that make mockery of us saying we are soldiers in the kingdom of God. The Lord is going to take us to another level, even as he takes us higher, because we have said yes to his will. Jesus accepts us into the military just as we are, but he does not keep us as we were. In Rebuilders, the word is taught. In Rebuilders, I know your pastors, they live the life. In Rebuilders, Pastor Morgan can say, imitate me even as I imitate Christ. What can your home say about you? What can your daughter say about you? Pastor Oseni, who led praise and worship, it was her daughter who did the praise dance and was here. We see a legacy going through. We see a generational blessing. We see a following. Because she saw something in her mom, she chose to continue in that line. A soldier for Jesus has to be set apart. Who are our friends? My mom always says, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. Today I thank God that my friends are people who have given their lives to Jesus. I thank God that my friends are people who were all walking this journey together. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless you are agreed? Check out your friends. Some of us have to flee. We have to separate ourselves of some of the people that we are hanging out with because they're tarnishing our testimony, because they are pulling us back. A soldier has to be stripped of himself completely. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I live to the glory of God. As a soldier, I can't be Marion anymore. I have to be Christ's representative. 2 Corinthians 5:20 calls me his ambassador. Are we separated from the world? On Friday nights, are we partying, drinking, smoking, dancing? We rest on Sunday. We come and sit in church like angels on Sunday. As soldiers, we have to know God. As soldiers, we have to understand the word of God. Galatians 5:16 says that we have to walk in the Spirit so we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is out there. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. When you walk in the Spirit of God kills that which is of the flesh and replaces it with that which is of spirit. Galatians 5:18 says that we have to be led by the Spirit. What leads you? What spirit leads you? You know, there has to be a change in how we behave. You see a dog is so faithful, so loyal. It just goes where you lead it. Even a sheep was given a different description the other day. We used to say sheep are stupid, but sheep are loyal. Because the sheep follow their master, and they go where you want them to go. As followers of Jesus, as soldiers of the cross, are we following Jesus with all our heart, mind, soul, and body? Are we being led by the Spirit? A friend of mine called me the other day and she was talking about a problem she had with her pastor. She's not in this state, so it's not in your church. And she said, you know, the associate pastor's wife says he's going to go with me. We're going to confront this pastor. And she went on and on and on. And this was a friend who loved a friend who wanted to support the friend. But was she being led by the Spirit? The Bible is clear regarding how we deal with conflict. When there is a conflict, you go one-on-one, you talk about it. And then after that, if that is not reconciled, then you can call in someone else. So all I did, I posted the scripture, conflict resolution, God's way. There are many things that happen that we need God, the Holy Spirit, to lead us. Sometimes people hurt us. You know, when we give our lives to Christ, we'll say, you know, I'm not going to hurt anybody. I'm going to walk well. I'm going to walk right. But when they hurt us, how do we behave? I've had my children talk about it many times when they're hurt. They say, you know, Mommy, you will tell us to do it God's way. We have to forgive. We have to let go. This is ministry. Have we got that mindset that we can release even the worst person who has hurt us? Have we got that mindset as soldiers in the Lord's army to say, you know what? It's not about you. There was a time it was very difficult for me to forgive my loving husband, who is today my best friend. Let's clap for my husband. We had so many issues. Our marriage was on the rocks. And on a good day when we were not fighting, we decided to get a divorce. We were saved. He was born again. I was born again. But our marriage was not saved. It was until we came to that place where we had to put our marriage on the rock, Jesus Christ, the solid rock, that he turned things around in our lives. And today we can go around the world talking about marriage on the rock, that it is only when Jesus is there that marriage works. A soldier does not only fight in an army, but a soldier is willing to give up his life. Give up his life. Are we willing to give up our lives for Jesus? Are we willing to surrender all to Jesus? Are we willing to pay the price for the call of God on our lives? Think about it. I remember I was in a meeting once, and it was a Christian meeting, and the things said there were not Christian, because for me they did not align with the word of God. And so I stood up and I said, you know, what you are saying is wrong. In the flesh, in the natural, in the world, it makes sense. But in the spiritual, it does not. I said, so God's word says X, Y, Z. We cannot go this way. And they were upset. They were offended. And that statement cost me. But I would rather pay a price for God. I would rather pay a price for the kingdom, because the anointing of God comes with a price. And we're supposed to be able to be bold and stand up and speak the truth God's way if we are going to be soldiers. A soldier trains every day. How often do we train as soldiers in the kingdom? How often do we read God's word? How often do we eat his word? And how much do we live his word? Psalm 144 verse 1 says that he prepares our hands for battle and our fingers for war. To be able to fight the battle, we have to Ephesians 6:10-18. Put on the whole armor of God. Go read it. Are we fully armored to go into battle? Have you ever seen a soldier in sneakers? No. Or have you ever seen a soldier with a plastic gun saying, you know, I just want to scare them? Soldiers mean business. Soldiers are serious. What kind of training have we got as soldiers in the Lord's army? What kind of training have we got as people who say we have said no to the world? Goodbye, world, I'll stay no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasures of sin, I'll stay no longer with you. I've made up my mind to go God's way. We need to know God's voice. John 10:27-28. It says that my sheep hear my voice and they know me. Which voice do we listen to? Which voice do we listen to? There's this woman, she was praying for finances. She needed to pay her house rent. She had to pay other things. And then one day she said, you know, I have a testimony. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And she stood up to give her testimony. And she said, you know, I've been praying. And God sent me this man. And this man came, he paid my rent, he paid my bills, he did everything for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then we found out that the man was a married man. And we all know there are no free lunches. The voice that she had was that deceptive voice saying, you are not in the wife's way, you are not taking her money, you are not doing anything. Just let him take care of you, and you will take care of him. The devil is a liar. May we know the word and understand the word of God, so that even as we live out the word of God as soldiers in the Lord's army, we will not misrepresent him. What are some of the characteristics of a Christian? Number one, a Christian has to be disciplined. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, I buffet my body, lest after I have ministered, I be disqualified. As Christians, are we disciplined? One hallmark of a Christian is punctuality. When we have to come to Jesus, we have to be on time. When we have to come to Jesus, we have to be prepared. When we come to Jesus, when we have an appointment with Jesus, we have to be ready to receive him. If Donald Trump were to call us, you know, I'm just back from Kenya after 9 years. I remember that those who used to go to the U.S. Embassy for visas, you see, for us with American passports, we just go in and we walk in. But some people would have been there from 4 o'clock in the morning waiting for a visa. What is so important about America? As Christians, we have to be disciplined. Disciplined in reading the word. Jeremiah says, I found the word and I ate it. Discipline in praise. Discipline in living the life. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says that whether we eat or drink, we do it to the glory of God. Discipline that whatever we do, we be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Are we disciplined? As Christians, we have to be focused. There are so many distractions around. So many distractions. I think one thing that helps me a lot is my husband and I pray together every morning. And that is really a blessing to keep us focused for the day. Because we don't only read the word, we see how it's going to be applicable in that day. And even if he has a meeting or he has somewhere to go, he makes sure we have that. He makes sure we have that time of prayer. Philippians 3:12 to 14 says, not that I have already attained, but I run the race, forgetting the things that are behind and looking. If you go into Hebrews 12, it says to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. Verse 1 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured that cross, he despised the shame. We have to stay focused. There are so many distractions. What are the distractions in your life that make you as a soldier lose balance? A soldier has to be loyal. What's our level of loyalty with Jesus? If you read Romans 8, if you go 35 to 39, Paul says, for I am persuaded, I am convinced, I know, that neither life, nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things above, nor things below, nor anything will separate me from the love of God, which is mine or ours in Christ Jesus. Are we loyal to Jesus? Are we loyal? There was a time I was not loyal. You see, in my work with the Lord, I do constant self-audits. Maybe sometimes, at one time it was loyalty. Another time it was pride. Another time it was unforgiveness. Because we're on a journey, we're on a work in progress. Nobody is perfect. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. But we have to be able to examine our lives if we say we are soldiers. And allow God to start working himself in us. You know, I'm just back from Kenya. I had a very good job working there. Now I'm home. And I don't have a job. So sitting at home, it's hard, because in America, when you sit, you have to cook some, clean some, take care of your husband some, send you. And I find that very hard. And as a soldier in God's army, I have to work on, what's the word, getting angry. I have to work on, not only on anger, sometimes he will say something to me and I snap. I'm sorry. But I'm dealing with my heart. I need a and it's part of my growth and my process. Are you hearing me? Yes. When we are doing God's work, we have to be real. If I want somebody to comment on my walk with the Lord, my husband and my children can testify. But we're on a journey. The place I find myself in now, I am still looking to God to see what he's going to do for me tomorrow. But what I do today has to please him, to trust him with tomorrow. So I will not snap anymore. If I snap, just hug me. A Christian soldier has to be obedient. The word of God says in 1 Samuel 15:22 that to obey is better than sacrifice. What has God asked us to do that we have not done? There were some of you who came up here today to put that money for Lack Avenue. Now the Lord had given you an amount, but you told the Lord that, you know, you'll pay it in two installments. You have the money, but there is something of the world that you want to do with half and do with the other. I pray in Jesus' name that you'll come and give the full one, that you will receive the full blessing.
Amen.
Obedience is very important. Partial obedience is disobedient. I know you know yourself. God gave you an amount. You know, when you came up here, the Lord showed me. He gave you an amount to pay, but you did not pay all. You paid half. You said you will pay the other half later. Come and just give it to the Lord and receive your blessing, because what you are doing is kingdom work. As a soldier, we have to be strong. I like Paul. He says that when we are weak, his strength is made perfect in us. Philippians 4:13 says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Joshua 1:7-9, God calls us to be bold, be strong, for the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. Be bold, be strong. As Christians, are we bold? Are we strong in Jesus? Do we believe that the Lord our God is with us wherever we go? There are some of us who go some places, we ask Jesus to wait outside while we go in. From today, I pray that that will not be our action anymore. In the name of Jesus, that wherever his presence leads us, we will go. But if his presence cannot go in with us, we should not go there. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit, because we cannot do it. Ephesians 5:15 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I like Stephen, because Acts 7:55 says that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit, a general in God's army. He was being stoned to death. He was being martyred. He was the first martyr. But the Bible says his face shone like an angel, because he was disciplined, because he had been feeding on the word, because he had been walking with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit enabled him to forgive. He said, Father, do not hold this charge against them. My brothers and sisters, where are we in this work of being filled with the Spirit? If you are not full of the Spirit, something else will fill the rest. God wants all or nothing. We want to surrender all to him.
Amen.
Soldiers are secure. Joshua 1:5 says that no man can stand against you. As he was with Moses, so he will be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. A soldier is teachable. You find that they constantly go for boot camps. They constantly go for drills. They are being taught. Let us never feel that we are that place where we've got everything and we cannot learn more. Every day I pray to God, I ask him to give me more. Teach me, Lord, anoint me, dear Lord, fill me with your word. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. You are my best teacher. And a soldier, Christian soldier, surrenders. You see, in the world sense, surrender means defeat. But in Christ, surrender is victory. We declare, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. You surrender all to Jesus, and you John 3:20, decrease for Christ to increase. As we continue this journey, I want us to look at three soldiers in God's army that are worth emulating. Are you following me? Am I going too fast? In 2 Samuel 23, if you read 8 to 37, read it when you go home, but I'm going to touch on some very quickly. You see, the Bible talks about David. They were out there fighting the Philistines, and the Bible talks about David's mighty men. Say amen.
Amen.
David's mighty men. David was worthy of emulation, and he had his mighty men. In verse 8 of 2 Samuel 23:8. It talks about Adino the Enzite. He killed 800 men at one time. 800 men. One man killed 800 men. What are some of the battles you are fighting? How are you dealing with those battles? Do you run away and hide? Or do you stand there with the help of the Holy Spirit to fight and kill them for the glory of God? What kind of soldier are you? What have you given into? We see there are so many men out there, and I'll refer to the men. Addictions. Thank God for Pastor Morgan. Addictions. Immorality. Suicidal thoughts. Suicidal attempts. Unforgiveness. Rape. Theft. All these are men that come to fight us. But we know that the battle is the Lord's. That it's not by might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit of God, we can put those 800 men down. Think about yourself and think about the men. Those battles you are fighting alone. Right, my brother? In the white shirt. Am I talking to you? Oh, you're looking at your shirt. There are things in our lives that we have to get rid of. That we can fight with the word of God. That we can fight through praise. Verse 9, it talks about another mighty man, Eliezer. The Bible says that after the men of Israel had absconded, he fought till his hand got weary and his hand stuck in his sword. He fought till his hand got weary, but his hand stuck on the sword. One of the armor of God is the Bible. That is our sword. There are some battles that we will fight till our hands get weary. But we have to keep our hands on the sword. We have to keep our hands on the sword. We have to keep our hands on the sword. I remember in Judges chapter 1, when Adonibezek was going around killing the kings of Israel, what did he do? He cut off their thumbs and big toes. That they could not hold on to the sword. But Eliezer, he fought till his hand got weary, but he held on to the sword. The past 3 years have been very difficult years for me, and I've been fighting many battles. I thank God for my husband, my children, for Pastor Morgan, Pastor Jennifer, and others who were praying with me. It was difficult because I was being persecuted for the sake of the kingdom. I was being persecuted because I chose to be bold and take a stand for Jesus. I was being persecuted because my fragrance was stench to the unbeliever. I was being persecuted because some people did not like the epistle of Christ that they read from me. But I held on to the sword. I held on to the sword. What battle are you fighting today? Hold on to the sword. And the Bible says that victory was theirs. When we hold on to the sword, victory is assured in Jesus' name. Verse 11, the Ishama. The Bible says that the Philistines ambushed them and the Israelite army fled. And he was left alone midfield. Can I say that again? The Israelite army, they fled because the Philistines laid an ambush for them. And they didn't know what to do. But Shammah stayed, and he stationed himself midfield. He killed all the Philistines and defeated them. Maybe there are times that you might be looking for somebody to help you. There are times you might be looking for somebody to stand with you. You might be looking for somebody to say, you know what? I'm going to be with you on this journey. But everybody leaves you alone. But Jesus never leaves you. Amen. He says, I will be with you always, even unto the end. Amen. These men were ready to sacrifice themselves even for the king. And what does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that they went to get water for the king, David. But David said that he would not drink the water. He poured it out because their lives mattered. Are we willing to sacrifice our lives for the Lord? Before I conclude, I want to read a poem to you. And I want you all to answer amen in parts that mean something to you. The poem is written by an unknown author. But it speaks to what I'm saying today. Are you ready to join me? Amen. I'm a soldier in the army of my God. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. Amen. The Holy Spirit is my code of conduct. Amen. Faith, prayer, and the word are my weapons of warfare. Amen. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hello? Amen. Trained by experience. Amen. Tried by adversity. And tested by fire. Amen. I am a volunteer in this army. Amen. And I am enlisted for eternity. Amen. I will not get out, Amen. Sell out, Amen. Be talked out, Amen. Or pushed out. Amen. I am faithful, Amen. Reliable, Amen. Capable, Amen. And dependable. Amen. If my God needs me, I am there. Amen. I am a soldier. Amen. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, Amen. Petted, Amen. Primed up, Amen. Pumped up, Amen. Picked up, Amen. Or pepped up. Amen. I am a soldier. Amen. No one has to call me, Amen. Remind me, Amen. Write me, Amen. Visit me, Amen. Call on me, Amen. Entice me or lure me. Amen. I am a soldier, I am not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards or candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be coddled, cradled, cared for or catered for. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt. They cannot be hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into his army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will win. My God has and will continue to supply all my need. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The devil cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from his battlefield, he will promote me to captain and then allow me to rule with him. I am a soldier in the army, marching and claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier, marching heaven bound. Here I stand. Will you stand with me? In conclusion, I'll leave you with four quick points. Number one, the battle we are fighting is a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle. Ephesians 6:12 reminds us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 reminds us that the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, there are many vain imaginations, there are many things. But recently I was confronted with something, and I said, you know, I'm not even going to fight. If you know me, naturally I'm a fighter. In the world sense. And I thank God he's teaching me to fight God's way. Amen. And I decided to pray. And we started praying. And victory was assured. Point number two. We are not in this battle alone. For the battle is not ours. It belongs to the Lord. Amen. Sometimes you might feel lonely as a soldier. Know that you are not alone. The Lord is with you. Psalm 24:8-9 says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle, the long, strong, and mighty. He is the King of glory. He goes before us. We are not alone. Point number three, victory is assured. In Jesus, there is no defeat. We know that we are daily in warfare. We are daily in battle. Maybe by the time we step out, somebody might say something that might offend us. Somebody might look at us in a way that we don't like. We might say hello to somebody and they don't recognize us. And you say, take offense. Or you go home and you find your wife waiting for you and she hasn't cooked. The battles are many. It could be financial. It could be physical. It could be a problem with your child. It could be a problem with your spouse. It can be that you are looking for a job. It can be that you are struggling with an addiction. It can be anything. But the Lord promises victory. In John 16:33, the Bible says that in this world, we will have trials. John 16:33. But in him, we have peace. That we should be of good courage. He has overcome the world. Victory is assured. And the last one, point number four. There is restoration for wounded soldiers. Amen. I say it again. There is restoration for wounded soldiers. Amen. Maybe some of us are sitting here, we are listening to me. We are paralyzed. We are wounded. We are hurting. There are so many things going on. But today the Lord is telling us in Jeremiah 31:3-4 that he will build us and we will be rebuilt. For he loves us with an everlasting love. Today, my brothers and sisters, I have challenged us and challenged myself on being a soldier in the Lord's army. Is it about the title? Or is it about the legacy? Is it about the testimony? Is it about what we live? Is it about the lives that we live? As a soldier, may we be like Eliezer, may we be like Adino, may we be like Shammah, that the world will think about us and use us as God's mighty men and women. May people think about us and say, yes, indeed, Eddie was a real soldier of the Lord. Caleb was, Walton was, Pastor Morgan. What legacy are we living in this world as soldiers of the King? May our legacy be live on and on. May we be able to sing onward Christian soldiers marching us to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army goes the church of God. Let us remain united. Let us remain one body, one army for the glory of the kingdom. Shall we stand, please? I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord today. I don't know what kind of soldier you are. I don't know if you are a wall. I don't know if you're a general, a corporal, a brigadier. But the Lord knows. I want you to do a quick self audit and just find out where you are with Jesus. I want you to do a quick audit and find out what will Jesus say about you. Is he going to be pleased with you? Or is he going to say, oh no, this my soldier has disappointed me. Or Matthew 25:21, well done. If anybody wants a prayer of restoration, you can feel free to come up. Otherwise, I'm just going to pray in the interest of time, even as we continue serving the Lord and sojourning on as soldiers of the cross. Where's the choir? Can I have somebody please help me with the song as we pray? Pastor Morgan, can I have somebody to be singing, please? I want you all to take a minute and just tune into Jesus. Jesus is here. Yes. How sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. Lost, but now I'm found. Sing it like you believe it.
I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Was blind, but now I see.
Was blind, but now I see.
Take a minute and talk to Jesus. Can you help me pray with these people?
Amazing grace. Hallelujah.
Surrender all to Thee.
Blessed Savior, I surrender all.